I want to thank Brother Gerald for giving me the opportunity to stand this morning to speak. I'm always nervous when I get up here and speak. This is a holy place. This is a holy ground. And I don't want to say or do anything displeasing in the Lord's sight. I just want to speak what he gives, open my mouth and speak what he gives, no more, no less. I want to say this morning I love him, and I appreciate the Lord for saving my soul and giving me the free gift of eternal life. Without money, without price, I came and drank that well of living water that sprang up into everlasting life. I had nothing to offer God, nothing to bring to him, but a broke heart and a contrite spirit, and that is the sacrifice God would not despise. I was poor and needy. I was destitute. I was broke. I was contrite. And I was sick of sin, sick of the world. And the Lord gave me eyes to see myself as a lost sinner. And he gave me ears to hear his precious word. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he gave me a heart to understand what I need to do to bring a broke heart and a contrite spirit. He let me see that good works and join up with some church and getting baptized in the water of the grave, that's not good enough to get you to heaven. You must be born again. The Lord gave me understanding of what I need to do, and I came humble as I knew how. And this poor man cried, and the Lord heard my feeble cry and delivered me out of all my trouble, sin trouble. And when the Lord saved me, he operated on my heart. The operation of faith took place on my heart. He took out that old heart of stone and placed within a heart of flesh to love him. He gave me love for his precious word. He gave me love for the brethren. And he gave me love for his church, the brethren, and his word, and his sweet fellowship. And I can tell you, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. When the Lord saved me, that's where I want to be. When the doors are open, I want to get into the house of the Lord and know more about him. I was hungry and I was ignorant. I was born a baby, and I was ignorant of the Word of God, didn't know anything about the Word of God. I grew up in a good moral family, much as they knew how, but I was ignorant of the Word of God. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was alienated and separated from God Almighty, on my way to hell. But the Lord looked past my fault, and he saw my need, and delivered my soul from death. He kept my feet from falling, delivered me out of the power of darkness, and translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. And I'm so grateful. He put joy in my soul, peace in my soul, on the Lord Jesus' behalf. I now have peace with God, and the peace of God abiding my soul because of what Jesus done for me. When he done the work on Calvary, paid the sin debt in full, the price has been paid for sin, young folks. The blood has been shed, and the work is finished. All you need to do is come. Come as you are. If he's bidding you come, the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. If he's knocking at your heart's door today, the day may be the day of salvation for you. Just open up the everlasting doors of your heart and invite him to come in. If he's dealing with you today, if you're broke and contrite and you get repentant and get ashamed of yourself and sick of sin, and cry out to him for mercy and help, ask him to have mercy on your sinner, you can be saved. That's between you and God Almighty when he speaks to you and when he deals with you. But if he's speaking to you, you need to come while you can. Come while the door is open. One day the door is going to be shut and no man will be able to open it. The Bible says, seek him. Seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. That's telling us that you don't get saved when you think you will. You get saved when he's dealing with you, when he's speaking to you, when he's bidding you come, when he's giving you the invitation. That's when you can come. When you come, you'll be so glad you did. The best thing could happen to you is when you get saved, when you get born again, and he puts you in newness of life. And I can tell you, you'll be enjoying this wonderful salvation, and you'll be a candidate for heaven. And I can tell you, you no longer have that condemnation and that guilt of sin and the burden of sin, and he'll give you rest in your soul. I got rest in my soul when I got saved. I was a fairly troubled young man. I had a few anxieties, but most of all, I was miserable on the inside. I was a rather reserved type of guy, but I was miserable on the inside, and nobody knew how I felt but the Lord. The Lord knew all about me. He knew my downset and my uprising. He knew my thoughts of fall, and the Lord knew exactly what I needed, and he dealt with me in the time. When the time came, When the time came and I got sick of sin, he spoke to me. And I came running. I came when the Lord spoke to me. He drew me with cords of love. And he worked with me and he dealt with me. And I was under conviction for quite a while, 6 months. But the Lord had mercy on me and he worked with me. He was patient. And I'm so glad that he is. I'm so glad that he's long-suffering toward us all, not willing that any should perish. The Lord called me, and when he called me, I came. I came as a young man, void of understanding. I was blinded by the god of this world. I was going down the broad way, the wide way that leaded to destruction. But the Lord changed my course. See, I was going down the broad way, the wide way. He changed my course. He put me in the straight and narrow, and he established my going. I'm going to heaven because of what he's done for me. He saved me and forgave me of all my sins, put me in newness of life, and I've been enjoying this wonderful salvation. It's been the best life to ever be lived, the life of a Christian. If you're not saved today, you're just existing, and God's had mercy on you all these many years, and you have breath in your bodies, and you're breathing, but you don't have life. Life comes from Christ, the Lord Jesus. He's my life today. He's the light of my soul. He's my strength. He's the sustainer of my life today. And if you're not saved today, you're existing, and God has had mercy on you and kept you alive physically in these bodies you're living in. But you need life. You need life from above. You need the life of Christ. You need him. The Spirit of God got to indwell you and give you the life. And when he saves you, he'll put you in newness of life, and you'll be born of a new nature. Christ will be born in you. You'll be born of a new nature, a divine nature. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's saying that you have hope. You have the blessed hope living in you, and you know that you have the blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And you, as I said, you'll be a candidate for heaven. And when you leave this earthly life, when this whole earthly house is dissolved, you have a building not made with hands, eternal unto heaven. This old earthly house that I live in is going to die because of sin. There's a sense of death in this body because of sin. I'm dying daily. You're dying daily. We're all dying daily. But thanks be unto God, we are alive in Christ Jesus. For in Adam, we're all going to die. There's no discharge in the war of death. But in Christ Jesus, we shall all be made alive. I have been made alive. I'm alive because of him. But this old earthly house is going to be dissolved. It's going to die. It's going back. Dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. This is just a body of clay. The real me, the soul and spirit, is going to get out one day after a while. It's going to take its flight, and you're going to get out. If you're saved, you've been justified by his marvelous, amazing grace. You're going to heaven. But if you have not been justified, you'll drop off into a little burning hell. The Bible says where the fire is never quenched and the worm won't ever die, and the smoke of your torment will send up forever and ever, and there'll be no rest of you day nor night if you miss heaven. I don't want to see nobody I come in contact with miss heaven. Everybody I come in contact with, I want to be a light. The Lord said to be a light on a hill, not on a bushel, not on a bed, but a light on a hill, shining out to a lost and dying world. If you're saved today, you need to labor while it's day. Night is coming when no man can work. You need to get out there and win the loss before it's eternally too late. He saved me for service. He didn't save me to enjoy my flesh, the pleasure of sin in my flesh, to act a fool in my flesh, but he saved me for service. You see, before I got saved, I was enjoying the pleasure of sin for a season. But when I got saved, he gave me meaning. I have meaning now because of what he's done for me, and I have purpose. He gave me purpose in life. And I need my eyes on Jesus and my heart fixed, and I need to win the souls he's committed to my trust. He said, he who wins his soul is wise, and I want to be wise in the Lord. I don't want to waste my time, and I certainly don't want to waste the Lord's time. He saved me for service, and he wants me to labor while it's day. I've been bought for a price. I'm not my own. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. I don't belong to myself. I belong to him, and I need to give him my very best day in and day out. I need to be pleased and acceptable in his sight. I need to work out. We, as Christians, we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We don't work to get saved. We work because we are saved. And we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We need to work it out. We need to prove it out. He saved us, and we have a wonderful salvation, and we need to know his will for our lives, each and every one of our lives. He has a work for each and every one to do as Christians. We need to find our place of service and get it and stay in it. As Brother Gerald always preaches and told us, we need to get it and stay in it and be patient and be diligent in our efforts and put out a good effort and be pleased and accepted in his sight and give him our very best. He gave us all on Calvary when he bled and suffered and died. Laid down his life for sinners such as myself. Laid down his life. He went to Calvary. He took the lonely road to Calvary and laid down his life for sinners such as myself. What a love. His love compelled him to go to Calvary. And I'm a poor excuse for a Christian, but I need to do the very best I can to be able to labor for him. He lives it through me, but I need to yield myself to his will for my life. And if I yield myself, I know that he'll use me, and there'll be a great rewards in that. And he'll get the glory out of each and every situation. And if I just yield myself and give myself to him, and we as Christians, he'll get the glory, and we'll get the good. And I can tell you, that's a satisfying life. That's a blessed life. I tell you, I have a long ways to go, and we all do. And I'm working on myself each and every day. We all need to. We need to iron out those wrinkles and patch up those holes in us each and every day. There's a work in us. He works in us, and we need to work out. We need to clean up ourselves, and I mean, we need to get in this Word of God right here, and we need to clean up ourselves and keep ourselves in shape and be equipped through the Word of God. And he'll empower us to get out there and do the work. And he'll put people in our path. He'll put souls in our path, and they need help. They're groping in darkness. And they need somebody to lead them to Jesus. And if you're saved today, you need to be that vessel. You need to be that servant. You need to be that Christian that can do it and need to do it. And you need to get in shape so that we can do it. But as I was reading right here, as Brother Stacy was praying, and I've been reading on this and thinking on this for quite a few days in chapter 18. It spoke right here, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrote a work on the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Now, I was a young man. I was born into this world. I was born in sin and shaping into iniquity. And in my mother's womb, I was conceived, and I was a sinner. I came to this world as a sinner, and in my mother's womb, she conceived me. And I was marred by sin, and we all are. We all are marked by sin because of Adam plunged this world into sin. He fell to sin, the fall of man in the garden, and he disobeyed God, and we all became sinners because in Adam, we all are made sinners. But in Christ Jesus, we shall all be made righteous because of what he's done for us. We're not righteous within ourselves, but we've been made righteous through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, I was marred by sin, and we all are. And because we are marked by sin, we need to be made again a new vessel. And the Lord has made that provision for us to be a new vessel. The sentence of sin can be lifted, and we can be delivered from sin because of what the Lord Jesus done for us. We no longer, when you get saved, you're a new creature. And old things pass away, and all things become new unto you when you become a Christian. And so this old earthly house here still serves the law of sin. But with our minds, we serve the mind of Christ. Because we have the mind of Christ in us when we get saved, and we're no longer separated from God Almighty, but we have been reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ by the blood of his cross. And so we are new creatures. The church is the Lord's new creation. And we need to live like it, and we need to conduct ourselves like as we're a new creation and not the old creation, not living in our flesh and having being defeated at every hand, and knowing that we have a hope. We're not as the world, and we shouldn't live as the world and walk and talk and do as the world. But we're in the potter's hand. The Lord is the potter, and we're his hand. And he can make us and shape us after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be conformed to his image. Each and every day we live, we need to put out that effort, be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not the image of the world. You see, there's the wisdom of the world, and there's the wisdom of Christ. And we need to be trying to seek his wisdom, and seek those things above, and not those things beneath. And we need to set our heart and our mind and affection on things above, and not on things beneath. So it says right here, he told him to go down to the potter's house and look at the wheel, and he saw that the clay was marred in the potter's hand. And so we have been marred. We have been marred because of sin. There's a weakness in us, and we all have a fleshly nature, old nature, Adamic nature, because of sin. We have a fallen nature. But you see, when we got saved, we received a new nature, a divine nature. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so he has done a wonderful work on the inside. He's perfected us on the inside because he lives in us. Not that we're anything. I can tell you, when he got me, he didn't get anything. But when he saved me, I got the good part. And so we have been in the potter's hand. The Lord has molded us. And he's trying to shape us each and every day as Christians after the image of his dear son, as we live and yield ourselves and give ourselves. And we need to get in this word and see what he wants us to do and how he wants us to be. He's given us the pattern here. He's given us the map right here. This is a road map for the Christian right here. And my life and your life need to be a life of faith, trusting God. Faith is trusting God. Faith is believing him. And we have a hope. We're not as all men most miserable, but we have a living hope. We have a blessed hope. We are, as the world is miserable, and they have no hope. The world has no hope. We have a hope. We have the blessed hope. And we're not looking for We're not looking for him to come back. We're not looking for the wrath of God, for him to come back in tribulation. We're not looking for tribulation, but we're looking for his hope, the blessed hope. He's coming back for his church. Whether we go out through the doorway of death, we're going to meet him. We have a hope. Our hope is in him. And if we go out by the way of the rapture, or whether it be by way of the grave, by way of the doorway of death, the Christian have a hope. We have a lively hope. We have a blessed hope. He is our hope. That is the hope of the Christian. That is the hope of the that's our faith, believing and knowing that he's coming back for us. And he's not going to forsake us or leave us, but he'll be with us even to the end of the world. And so we have the Christian need to live a life of love. Love is not just in lip service, but love is in action. Love is thinking about the welfare of others, thinking on others, not just in this life only, but where are they going to spend eternity? Thinking about them, wanting them to get to heaven, being a light to them, reaching out to them, and having something to say that's going to give them some hope that they can turn to the Savior and be saved, giving them that hope, the hope that they need. Charity, the Bible talks about that, love, faith, and hope, and charity. Those are the things that he talked about in Corinthians. And so charity suffers long, and it envies not. And charity, that's love. You see, we love his word. As a Christian, we love the word of God. You got to love his word before you can love him, because his word speaks of him. This whole Bible, if Jesus is on every page of this Bible, if we just think about it and realize that the Bible speaks about him. The Bible is all about the Lord Jesus. It speaks about him. So we must love his word. The Bible says, every word of God is pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. A servant loves the word of God. Man's not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God Almighty. And so we love the word of God. We love it. The word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we need to daily hide his word in our heart that we might not sin against him. The Bible says, teach us, O Lord, to number our days that we may apply heart unto wisdom. And so the Christian needs to love. We need not be a respectful person, but you need to love souls. We love souls. We don't love sin. We hate sin, but we love souls. And so we need to have the mind of Christ and think on things above and realize that I need more of his love, and we all do. My flesh stinks, and it's so vain and vile and wretched. That is my flesh. The good part about me is Jesus. But I love him, and we need to love him above life itself. As a Christian, we need to love him. Love his will and his way being done in our lives. And want him to have the preeminence. And want him. He is the captain of the host. He is the author and the finisher of my faith today. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. And I don't want to ever do anything to shame him. When I fall or fail or make mistakes, I want to get down on my knees, and the first thought is to cry out to him, God have mercy on me. Mr. Mark, I need your help. I need you every day. I need you every hour. And I constantly have to say that each and every day, because I'm weak, I'm frail, my flesh is subject to fall and it's full of holes. Not that I'm practicing willful sin, but that's the will of the flesh. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. And we're living in a world that there's something on every corner. The devil has a pretty picture for all of us on something on every corner he has for us. To tempt us, to deceive us, to distract us, and to lead us astray. And if we thought about Lot. Lot was a Christian. He was a man that believed the Lord, and he was a saved man. But he got his eyes on the well-watered plains of Sodom. And he got his eyes down that way. Abraham was a generous man. He told him, said, you can take this to the left or you can take this to the right. But he said, Lot looked over there and he got greedy. And that was a well of the flesh. He saw it look good to his flesh. And he followed after it. And he followed the well-watered plains. And eventually it led him on down to Sin City, Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the will of the flesh. But Abraham was a man that was a man that seeking God, and he was still and patient. But Lot got greedy, got his eyes on the world. And as a believer, you can get your eyes on the world and get yourself in serious trouble, and you can get down in near Sin City. You won't lose your soul if you're a Christian, but you can wind up being defeated by sin and end up losing all that the Lord has committed to your trust, and living a shameful life as a Christian, and having a poor testimony. Lot got down to Sodom and lost his testimony. Couldn't win some of his own children out of that particular city. Couldn't win them. Lost them to the fires of hell. Lost his testimony. What a shame. It must have grieved him to death to lose his family. He didn't have the influence that he needed to win some of his family members out of Sodom and Gomorrah. What a shame. What a tragedy that was. Got down, he went down, down, down. You see, he lost his testimony. And he no doubt was living a good life in the flesh, but it was totally a sad life to live when you don't have influence over your home, your family. And so we need that influence over our family. I have many family members. Most of my family members are lost, and they don't know the Lord, and many of them don't go to church, but I know the Lord saved me for service, And he placed me in this little church right here where I can be fed, where I can have a deeper understanding of his word and to grow in grace and be a help to them. He put me here to be a help, where I can grow and be a help and be a good influence, a godly influence over my family members, because they need somebody that's different. They need to see the Lord in somebody. And then the Lord has set me aside for that person. He's trying to sanctify me and set me aside. And he has a lot to work on when he found me, when he chose me. But he's working on me. And he's trying to use me to be that influence. And I want him to use me. I want to be that influence. I'm honored to have that place of service in the Lord. Not that I'm anything, but he's everything. But if that's what the Lord wants me to be, he chose me. The light fell on me. That's what I want. I want what the Lord wants of my life. And I'm trying to be that influence over my family. I don't go around and beat them on the head and try to talk them into anything. I just try to live quietly and peaceably and speak what the Lord gives. And if they ask me something, I'm prayerful over the answer I give and how I respond. My action, my attitude, it needs to be right because they're watching me. They're watching me. Many people, my life and your life is a living epistle known and read among men. They're reading your life. They're looking at how you walk. They're looking at how you talk, where you walk, how you talk, what you say, how you say it, the expression on your face, the attitude you have. They're looking. They're watching. They might not come to you and say anything, but they're watching. They're looking. And that's going to make a difference in their life when it comes time the Lord gives you something to say to them. All these things are very important. The Lord is very detailed. He's very detailed. He's not a God of far off, but he's a God that's near. And I want him to be near to my heart. And I know you do too as a Christian. I want him near to my heart. And when you're around Christians, you know when the Lord is, he's near. He's God of all the earth, and beside him there is none other. But when you have a close relationship with the Lord, you can feel it, and you can know it, and you can sense it. And you enjoy it, and you want him there. I want him near. I don't want him far off. I want him near. I want him right down to where I live. And Brother Gerald, I can always say he always preached where you live. His preaching was always down to where you live. His preaching came from heaven and it burned. I mean, it was a hammer. It would crush up those old hard rocks. And I mean, that's a rock is hard and it's adamant and it wants to resist and it wants what it wants. But you see, when that hammer hits that rock and busts it up, and that's a sign of a pitch of humility. And when the Lord is speaking through his word and it burns, it wants to stir you up, and it wants to move you, and encourage you, and wants you to. You need to put out the effort. But these are the kind of things I saw in Jeremiah, and these are the kind of things I saw in Isaiah as I was reading. And these things have a spiritual meaning and message to us as Christians, and we need to really pay attention to the Word of God and think about what the Word of God is saying to us. And it's good, and it's precious to my soul. And I was thinking the other day, I have a little piece of property down in Moline, and it's not much, but it's the Lord. I'm trying to be a good steward over it, and the Lord privileged me to inherit it from my parent. And I had a little great nephew that came down and went there one morning early, and he was there in the yard, and it sort of frightened me. I wasn't expecting it, and so I drove up and asked him, sir, good morning, and I try to be respectful. That's one thing we as Christians, no matter what a person is doing, we need to be respectful. I was respectful, and I spoke, good morning, how are you? And I said, what are you doing here, son? And I'm old enough to be his granddad, but he said, I'm here resting. And I said, well, son, this is private property, and there are some signs here saying no trespassing. I own this property. My sister and I try to do the right thing about it, and I don't really want trespassers on my property. I know you're related to me, but I'm going to ask you to leave. I said, this is not right. He had some little person, lady in the car with him, and I knew they were doing some things they ought not do. And I just told him, I was firm, and I just had to come out and tell him, I said, I'm not going to tolerate this on my property. And I said, you're going to have to leave, and please don't come back. You need to start learning how to read signs. If you don't know, this could get you in a lot of trouble. And he said, well, can I go? I said, well, you'll go when I let you go. I said, while you're on my property, I want you to listen and pay attention to what I'm saying. And so I don't know how he took it, but I finally let him go, and he left. And I said, I love you. And I said, here's my number. If any time I can help you, I will. But you must understand that you cannot violate people's property and their rights. I said, this is not a public place here. I said, I don't tolerate this kind of stuff on the property here. I'm responsible for it, and it's legally mine, and so you must move on. So I had to confront him about it, and he left. But many times you have to speak in a firm way, but respectful. I wouldn't hurt him, abuse anybody, but I'm rather shy, reserved, but there are times when you have to speak, when the Lord gives you something to say, when it comes to something that he's put you over and committed to your trust. You need to be mindful of that. I had another incident that happened with my sister. She experienced one of the same things. She had someone working at her house, and they disagreed on the price, and she called me and says, Elbert, this fellow wanted more. And I said, well, sister, you need to agree on a price and pay the man to keep him happy and let him move on. And I said, give him what's reasonable and what he agreed, and come to a settlement on the price. I said, you don't want someone to leave your home angry or disappointed. You don't want to cause the devil to have occasion in our mind to come back and do you harm. This man knows where you live. I said, doing the right thing comes first, but this man knows where you live, and you need to do the right thing to make someone. You don't want anyone to leave your home angry or disappointed, unhappy with something when they know where you live. I said, that's doing the right thing. I said, I know that you don't have a husband who's responsible in those areas. So you call me, and I'm giving you an answer that's a godly answer, a good answer, an answer of judgment, good judgment. And so she took that serious, and she said, thank you. I didn't see it that way. I said, well, I didn't either. The Lord does. I said, he knows all things, and he gives the right answer. He gives the right answer when needed. He knows what's needed. I said, I'm not taking claim or credit for having that kind of sense. I don't have that kind of sense. The Lord knows what needs to be said. He just used me to be a little mouthpiece. I'm just speaking to you things that will keep you out of trouble and that will help you. I said, but you need to be careful about rushing out to do things. You get too carried away and too excited. I know ladies do. No offense to anybody here. But ladies get excited sometimes, and they want things that way. And that's the way of the flesh, too. It's all the way of the flesh. We're human. We're human beings. And we have a fallen nature. We have a sinful nature about us. The good part about us is Jesus living on the inside. But this old flesh right here wants what it wants when it wants it. And so we need to allow the Lord to govern the flesh by his word, staying in his word. And he helps us govern it through his word right here. As we study, we pray. He speaks to us, and he corrects us, he rebukes us, whatever it takes. He's trying to help us to govern this old flesh. It can so easily get out of hand, and it will get out of hand. And if you don't do something about it, if you don't work on it, it'll consume you. You see, it'll eventually consume you if you don't do something about it, work on it. If you just walk away from it and ignore it, it'll eventually consume us all. And this old flesh loves what it wants, when it wants it, the way it wants it. And so we need to work on that for soul's sake. There are souls round about us. As I said, they're looking at us, and they are watching, and they're noticing. If you name the name of Christ, let them depart from iniquity. Name the name. If you're naming the name of Christ, you need to have a good life, a good testimony, and conduct yourselves in a Christ-like way, a godly way, and do the right thing in each and every situation. There are times when we have to be bold in the Lord, but we need to do it with a right attitude, a loving spirit, a kind spirit. We need to choose our words carefully, be slow to speak, but swift to hear. And we need to not let the sun go down on our wrath. And we need to be mindful of souls round about us. Souls are important. They are precious. They are important. And everything in this world, everything we see is going to perish and pass away. It's only what we do for the Lord is going to stand. I don't want to have vain labors in the Lord. I know none of us do as Christians. We don't want them, but they can come, but we're not mindful. We need to be careful and set our heart, mind, affection on things above. Seek the Lord with a whole heart desire, and he'll be found of us. If we'll seek him, I can promise you, we'll be so glad, and we'll enjoy it, and God will get the glory, and that'll be a satisfying, rewarding life for you as a Christian. And I know that you want to win souls. Every Christian want to win souls, but wanting to and doing it are two different things. You got to put out an earnest effort. The Christian life, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, but it's not easy. But it's a good life, and we have a helper on the inside. He's our helper. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. And though we have grace for every need, there's grace for every need, and we need to just seek him and want his will and way and direction be done in our lives. It's a good life. And I'm not going to say much more at this time. This morning I woke up, I wasn't feeling too well. I drank some of that decaf water, and it made me a little queasy, but the Lord gave me strength. I'm not 100%, but I said, well, the Lord want me to stand. Brother Gerald asked me, and the Lord want me to. And so I'm somewhat better, but I know the Lord will take care of that, and he'll meet my needs, and he'll give me strength, and he'll give what's needed. So remember me in prayer. Pray for me as always, and I appreciate the church. I want to say again, I love each and every one of you all, and you're my family. You're my church home, my family, and I love you. I'm concerned about you. I'm grateful to be here among you. I really am. I mean that out of the bottom of my heart. I'm grateful to be here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I appreciate the Lord's presence here, and the Lord is meeting with us here. He's speaking to the brethren here, the pastor, and the Lord is still speaking us by way of Pastor Reed here. He may not be preaching, but he's preaching through those he has been a spiritual father over all these years. So Brother Gerald's preaching is still going on. And I want him to know that that should be an encouragement to him to know that we're eating what you give by way of the hands of the brethren here. And the Lord is good to us, and he's blessed us. And my prayer is the Lord's going to lift Brother Gerald up. And I know that's his heart desire to preach again. We desire to see him do so. In the meantime, the Lord is merciful unto us all. He's merciful. And he's a gracious God, and he's a God who cares. He's concerned about us, and he wants the very best for us as Christians. And so I appreciate the church here, the house of God, a place where we can come, a place. The church here is a pillar of truth, and it's a place of refuge from the storm. We can come here and get what we need to go out there and do battle with the enemy, the devil, and go out there and warfare and keep the faith, and learn that we need to keep our eyes on the Lord and keep our eye. The Bible says keep our eye single and full of light. Single. Need to keep our eye single and full of light, and lay hold to eternal life, and war good warfare, keep the faith. And so if we'll do that, I can promise you that'll be a rewarding life. Souls will be won, and the Lord will get the glory out of each and every situation, and we'll be able to grow and do what the Lord called us to do and be mindful of all the things the Lord wants to have. So may God bless us all, have mercy on us, and meet every need, deal with hearts and minds. I want to thank you once again. God bless you. We love you. Pray for us.